So my study was focused on mothers who become self-employed after having children. And the reason I wanted to explore this topic is because the rates of self-employment among women with young children are disproportionately high. So about 23-24% of women with a child under age 12 are self-employed, compared to about 9-10% of the female population generally. So about twice as many, and up to three times more, depending on the age of the child. So really, I wanted to understand why this was happening. There has been this kind of wave of popular articles about the rise of the so-called mumpreneurs, and it really presents self-employment as this kind of ideal solution for women trying to balance the demands of the household and paid work. So really, I wanted to investigate why women were choosing self-employment and whether it was a true choice or whether they were pushed into self-employment.
Do you think that a lot of women are pushed into it?
Yes. So some of the women certainly chose self-employment with their eyes wide open, partly because they wanted to be at home with their young children, but they still needed or wanted to work. But a large number of the women in the study, more than 60%, really described the transition to self-employment as a result of challenges and obstacles they faced staying in salaried organizational employment. And some of those challenges included workplaces that weren't prepared or able to accommodate the flexibility they needed to be able to drop off their kids and pick them up in time. They didn't have the vision to sort of provide that flexibility and still allow those women to work. And the other major issue was childcare. So the cost and availability of childcare was really prohibitive for women, especially those at the lower end of the income spectrum, because, of course, as soon as you have especially more than one child, the cost of childcare really negates the amount of income that you're getting in from the work.
I've got friends who've got young kids, you know, and they might be on a single mother's pension. They've got issues where, you know, they're finding it hard to make ends meet. If they might want to put their kids in daycare just so the kids can have a break and the mum can have a break so she can try and do some work, but then that money means that she can't afford to put petrol in the car or buy extra food that's really important for their health. So even having to go into self-employment, you need some kind of backing behind you to actually launch yourself into that as well. So, you know, it means you're really living quite tightly when it comes to money, and you can really miss out on those important things that are really essential.
Yeah, absolutely. One of my participants was, you know, really in some emotional distress because she had a business that was quite successful. She had hit on a good idea and that business was quite successful, but her children weren't in full-time childcare and she couldn't afford that. And the difficulty of needing to work and not having the time really created a lot of stress on her. And especially when you're having to choose between, you know, putting your kids in childcare so you can work and, as you say, putting petrol in the car, it's an incredible amount of stress.
And it also keeps mum at home where she doesn't have those kind of working relationships where you know, have a chance to sort of get out and about and converse with other adults as much. The mums are pretty much bound to the house, basically.
Pretty much bound to the house and socially isolated. And that was one of the things I found in my research, is that a lot of the women felt like they had kind of been betrayed by the workforce, in the sense that, you know, they were working hard and they were sort of playing by the rules. And then, you know, they went and had a baby, just happened to be the one who actually gave birth to the child. And as a result, they felt the workplace wasn't prepared to meet them halfway to give them the flexibility that they needed. And then they were kind of out on their own, working in isolation without the camaraderie of the workforce or the water cooler conversation and things like that. Some women enjoyed the isolation of it, but the majority that I spoke to really found that was a downside. And of course, some of them were just using self-employment temporarily until their kids were older, maybe, and didn't need them so much. But we know from previous research that it can be quite difficult to transition back into salaried employment once you've had that period in self-employment, especially for women.
And the kids need other kids as well. So, you know, it's not fair on the kids that the rates of childcare are so high. yet. You know, yeah. There's the issues around subsidy. I want to talk to you about what are your plans with the research? Are you hoping that you can use that as an input regarding changes in legislation? Or
yeah, really. I mean, I think we need to sort of change the way we think about and talk about self-employment around motherhood, because there is this sort of tendency to celebrate the mompreneurs and what a great balance it is. And for some women, it is. But for other women, it's really marginalizing. And a lot of the research around women and work is about, how to keep women, you know, how to help them progress inside organizational employments. But there hasn't been a lot of research to date about self-employment and the factors that influence, that drive women into self-employment. So there's still some really big structural issues we have to address, and childcare is a huge one. The cost, the availability, the sort of real lack of relief. The cost keeps going up, but the relief has stayed the same for the last, 8-10 years. There hasn't been that change. And the other major issue then for women who are self-employed is superannuation, because most women who are self-employed are not setting up companies, they're sole traders and partners, which means they don't have to contribute to their own superannuation, and they don't. So self-employed women across Australia have the worst superannuation balances of all workers. And I think that's something we really need to address for the long-term economic security of women.